In the light of Sunday in our study in Habakkuk, in Zechariah, and keeping in mind that in God's saving grace, he has Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. And God, in his wonderful grace, has provided the Savior, which is God himself. And in the process, all the sacrifices that were done by Adam and all the way through history appointed to his wonderful death. Now, in the days of Ezra and days of Zechariah and Haggai, they had built the foundation of the temple, but didn't finish it for 15 years. And in the process, they had sacrifice. But sacrifice is just sacrifice, reminding yourself of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that's good sacrifice. But if we don't get beyond that, that's all we've got in our head to work with. They needed the temple. And therefore, Zechariah comes along, Haggai, to encourage the building of the temple. Now, the temple isn't like Solomon's, but that isn't the point. The point is the temple, the tent, the tabernacle. That was what about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh down the road of history, tabernacle, temple, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they needed to know that. They needed to see the temple. They needed to understand that, in order to be encouraged. And we shared in Zechariah chapter 4 in that God provided a wonderful lampstand, menorah candle, seven-prong candle holder, lampstand. And God provided that for the inside of the tabernacle so they could see. They couldn't see, can't see outside, all you see is the coat of skin. You go inside, but you couldn't see because it's all dark. So therefore, the lampstand is there to bring light. So you can see the benefits, the table of showbread and all of those things. You won't see them if you don't have light. So you need light. God brings light, the lampstand, and brings a sight and insight so that we can understand, so that we can have the benefit of the sacrifice. Without this benefit, we just have the sacrifice, and we don't know how to handle it. We don't have understanding. Therefore, in the light of that, this God provides a wonderful, wonderful thing, as we shared together. Over in Matthew chapter 12, we share together, God enables us. God makes it possible for us to function properly. And we did that on Sunday, I think. Now, so in the light of that, I'd like to pick up a word that is helpful that we did. And in Matthew chapter 12, you pick up in verse 46. Jesus is looking, coming, as it were, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren, half brothers and sisters, stood without, desiring to speak with him. So they wanted to get him out of the house. He's in the house, full of people, and they're all listening to him, and they want him to come out to take him away, actually, to not embarrass them, to get him out of the house and take him home so he isn't a problem to people. What he says so many things and does so many things. And we'd like to get him out. And we shared together on Sunday that that's what people do. People want to have God in their own, they want God to come this way to themselves. God, come to me on my terms. so that I can handle you, so that I can deal with you in a good way. I want that. If you want me to come in there, then I have to deal with you according to your terms. And they just didn't want to do that. But our Lord never responded to them. And he doesn't respond to us. God, you can be, I'll pray and trust you and everything on my terms. God doesn't do that. And we don't get anything. We don't go anywhere. And our faith, our belief, becomes more sight and less faith. And more sight and less faith. Now, so what did he do? You remember. He answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Now they're out there, and he's telling the fellow to go, who is my mother? Well, I thought she was. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Remember, he just swung his hand around to everyone that was there. Behold, my mother and my brethren, for reason, whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother, sister, and mother. So hang on to that. Whoever would do my will, they are my brethren. They are. Okay, let's take that. They are my brethren. They are my mother, my brothers and sisters. They're my family. Okay. Over to John. John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, our Lord, after his resurrection, is helping the disciples, the believers. And so when you come to chapter 20 and in verse 17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now, he didn't say our Father. He didn't say that. He's very careful what he says. He didn't say our Father. He said, your Father, not my Father. Different. I have a different relationship than you do. So hang on to that. Now, so you'll notice, please, in the middle of verse 17, I'm going to go tell them, go talk to my brethren. That same word. Brethren has to do with a word used often, and it has to do with near, family, kinsmen, and it has to do a relationship by way of birth. You came out of the same womb, same life, same love, same everything, out from the same. That's the word, brethren, brethren. Okay. Now, my brethren, these are my mother, father, my mother, brothers and sisters, the family. It's a unique relationship that I have. We share the same life. We share the same love. We share the same Father. Wow. Now, even more, Hebrews. And in Hebrews, if I can, picking up all in chapter 2, Hebrews in chapter 2. And you will note God dealing with the hearts, if I can, in verse, I'll read verse 10, 2:10. For it became him to whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, Christ died on the cross, the sacrifices. What was the reason? What are you after, God? Verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. We're sanct to be consecrated, set apart, separated, holy. For both he that sanctifieth, our Lord, and they who are sanctified, the believers, are all one, are all of the same source. Christ is sanctified, Hebrews 10, and you're sanctified. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get saved. You receive the Lord as your Savior, you get saved. You receive the Lord as your Savior, and you get sanctified. That's what happens. All in one swoop. All of it comes at once. Wow. So, that's awesome, because our Lord Jesus said that since he is sanctified and set apart, then all we are sanctified and set apart. That's a wonderful thing, God. You've set us all apart. For what reason? What is your objective in this case? Of the many objectives in this case, verse 11. For which cause, for which reason, that's the reason, he's not being ashamed, not drawing back, not excusing, changing, backing off, to call them, what? Brethren. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. My father, my brothers, my sisters. I'm not ashamed to call them my brothers, my mother, my family. Same love, same life, same father, all made possible to make a unique relationship. Now, it's one thing we understand. Christ is the head, and the believers are his body, as it were. A unique relationship. But this ties together, all these little relationships come together to explain and make it easy to see what? That's why you're saved. You are surely saved if God does all this. God sets you apart and saves you. God sets you apart to be his family, his body. I don't know how you get more saved than that. More unit, relationship. God sets us apart to be his brethren, his brethren. I'm not ashamed to call you brethren. Now, in the light of that, and in picking it up, I can, which he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So God, here we are looking in the light of that, and the God is going to do that, that unique relationship. And just so I don't forget, you don't have to hold your finger, but go back over to Ephesians for a minute. So we tie that part a little better together. And you'll notice, please, in Ephesians chapter 5, picking up in the light of the context, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That purpose he might sanctify, set it apart, sanctified. I've just read it in Hebrews 2:11. He's sanctified and we're sanctified, all the same. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That reason, purpose, he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. We don't go cut off our hands. We consider all our things valuable, and we try to protect them and keep them in our physical body. And no man yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, his body. And then he says it, like different than Colossians and that, he says it in verse 34. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's a unique, awesome relationship, to say the least. So God, wow. Back over to Hebrews. So I could have had your finger there and you would have been all set. Hebrews chapter 2. And you'll notice in Hebrews chapter 2, sliding down if I can, in the light of verse 11, call them brethren. In verse 12, he's going to, three Old Testament quotations. Verse 12, 13, three Old Testament quotations. And then sliding down to verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all the lifetime subject to bondage. But verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, coming be flesh and blood like we have, wherefore in all things, wherefore is pointing now like a conjunction, it's saying, like this conjunction is different things. This conjunction is pointing and saying, boy, this is where you go now. This is where you go. Where do we go? Verse 17. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, reconciliation, like propitiation, God can't do anything. God, in his righteousness, has to fulfill his law, and we have to, sin has to be punished. The wages of sin is death. It has to happen. So, what can we do? Nothing. The only one that can do anything is God. So, in his righteousness, going to the cross and dying on the cross, for our sins, he now makes possible reconciliation, propitiation. God is satisfied. How can God be satisfied? He's satisfying his own righteousness by his death on the cross. And therefore, he's coming and going and providing for us by his satisfied, so to give us a unique relationship, not just to him, the Father, in a minute, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are able to have a unique, awesome relationship to God the Son, our Savior, as brethren, as family. Family. Of all human families, what do you know about all human families? They all come to an end. Man, woman, boy or girl, husband, wife, son, daughter, they all end. And death terminates all human relationships. All of them. No more. Boy. And the ones we have are often difficult, understandably. But, God, what did you do in your saving grace? You did something wonderful for us. You went and died on the cross and gave us a unique relationship to yourself. Now, the body, we got that a little bit to understand that unique oneness. But then we're brethren. Now, depending on everything, you have a brother, a sister, that kind of thing. Mother, how's that? All three. Got to have one of them. Well, everyone has to have a mother, and some may have brothers and some may have sisters, they may not. And those relationships are up and down, good and bad, right and wrong. But God, you use the body so that we can understand the body. You use family to understand what kind of fellowship, what kind of relationship do we have with you as my family, as my mother, as my brother, as my sister, that kind of relationship, a family, awesome relationship to have to you, personal, wow. full of confidence that relationship is. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful satisfaction, over to John chapter 17. And you'll remember as he ends his discourse in the upper room and go out to be crucified, he says these wonderful things, records them for us. Verse 7, chapter 17, going to verse 21, if I may. That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that purpose they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So there's a unique relationship. And I need to know that a little bit so that it helps me. The relationship is an awesome relationship. And I need to pursue it. Otherwise, people, you read, and I'm saved, maybe I'm not saved, and I've been saved for 18 years and nothing, so I'm not going to bother anymore. And people do that. They are doing it. Now, having said that, God, that relationship is an awesome one. Local, real, moment by moment, you're in the body, the head, the body. Moment by moment, you have relationships to your mother, father, brother, sister, whatever, and mother, brother, sister, somehow. But to remind us, that's a very real relationship. It's an ongoing relationship. It isn't somewhere out, way out in space. It's ongoing. So therefore, and you know, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them. What for? That we may be as one, even as we are one. So the whole point is to enjoy a unique relationship to God as body, as family, as brother, mother. Verse 21, 23, I in them and thou in me, reason that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world, what's the relationship? Do you know whom the God? Well, he's the son of, she's the daughter of. What do they say? I know him, he's the daughter of somebody. To know who yes, he's a believer. He's a professing Christian. He's a believer. Verse 23, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. So, unique relationship based on life, based on love. Now, chapter 14. And in chapter 14, picking up, going to catch the flavor of it, as you know it, verse 9. Jesus said unto him, I'll read verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, we'll be satisfied. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I and my Father are the same. We're one. God in his wonderful essence, nature, being, is one. He shows himself and has a unique way, a person, his makeup, his Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but he's one. So therefore, if I can, in verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me, verse 11, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. At least look at the evidence. Okay, having done that, then sliding over to verse 20. So, what am I to know? At that day of Pentecost, when God does a wonderful thing, we receive able to receive Christ as our Savior and enjoy his wonderful saving grace. Verse 20, At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's what you're going to know. A unique personal relationship. Remember the cups, one cup in the other? Just the way it is. Now, what does that translate into for me, for you? Sliding down to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto the us, and not unto the world? And thus, how are they going to know the difference between the world and them? Because, verse 23, Jesus answered and unto him, and if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive God the Father. You can't receive Christ without God the Father. You can't receive God the Father without God the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. It just isn't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. Wow. So God, with this relationship to the brethren, family, in this awesome relationship, God, so God in Christ, and you know from 2 Corinthians and 6 and all of that, 18, if you will separate yourself unto me, you're the temple of the Spirit of God, and the temple houses God. That's right. You're the temple, body, brethren. Uh-huh. And in the process, if you do that, I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters. It's a family. Sons and daughters. Because of Christ, the Son, we're brethren. That's why we're sons and daughters. We belong to the same Father. We belong. That's all. We just belong. That's what happens when you got saved. That's what happens. That's what's going on. That's the relationship. And if I close the book, you close your Bible, you don't know that. There's no way for you to know that. And if you live in the middle of the Mount Everest, how's that, where Pardesh is, up at the high mountain, you don't know it. All you know, awesome, the awesomeness of the world we live in, no question, but you don't know that. You don't understand it all. Close the book and you have no information. None whatsoever. We can know God and trust God like Abraham, and God helped them. But in this day of grace, God isn't doing that. God's using his word and the believers to communicate in a most wonderful way. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, you would recall just a word John is going to tell, and as he ends near the end of the first century. And in the process, he's going to say, there's a wonderful relationship. I want you all to know. Here's John out there and writing. He's the last living apostle. He's telling us, everyone, I want you to know, brethren, brothers and sisters, we're in the same family, God made it. How did we get there? God in Christ put us there. And our Lord declared it and clarified it so that we understand our unique relationship. So why? Because you're going to say what, Spirit of God? When we come to know the Lord as our Savior, well, hang on to that. What are you going to, forget it, I started it. When you know that, when you get receive the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God is going to do what? Right off, and at present tense, it doesn't stop. God is always, the Spirit of God is consistently going to remind the believing heart all the way to heaven. Abba, Father. Father. Sons, Father. Brethren. And God, why do you have to say it to us, God? Because unless you say it, we're caught up this way on our earthly relationships. That's why God will say, as we read on Sunday in that Matthew 10 and that, I've come to send a sword to mother, father, brother, sister, I've sent a sword to save you. I'm going to save you out of the dumb system that is so corrupt. It's a wonderful system that has become contaminated. And God saves us out of it. So therefore, when we come to verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a unique personal relationship to God. That's what we have. And how do we have it? You know, verse 7. If we walk in the light, is he in the light? We can't. If we're walking in the dark, then verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Because the only way you can walk with God is be in the light. God is light, the lampstand. The only way. You can't be in God's presence without light. Otherwise, you've turned it off. You've broken the relationship. If we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. And so, God, it's nothing about us. It's all about the wonderful things that you've done. You died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk in the light so that we can understand our unique privilege that the Spirit of God, Zechariah 4:6, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, God does what he does. So it isn't going to be anything of us. You learn to rest in what? The information and the facts and the realities. That's what you do. You and I do that every day, 24 hours a day, with the air we breathe, our heart beating, body functioning, our relationships are out there, work, home, school, family, friends, enemies. They're all out there, and we live with them every day. Every day, 24 hours a day, we live with them, more or less. That's what we do. Now, God said there's another relationship that's right here. It belongs to your relationship to God, and that's very, very, very real. So therefore, how are we going to do it? Walk in the light. And God's going to, we aren't trying to, isn't trusting, and not by works of righteousness, not the flesh. No flesh shall glory in his presence. So it isn't going to be that way at all. So God, you're going to have to go and do what you do in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, over, if you would, please, to pick it up over in Matthew chapter 11. Now remember, we looked at the brethren, and when we did that, you're right next door here. So just if you're in Matthew 11, go to Matthew 12 again, and go over to verse 50, 12 and 50, where you started. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. So what if we're doing the will of God, then we're enjoying the relationship. Now, before I do Matthew 11, go over with me one other place, over to Romans in chapter 8. to do the will. Okay, I want to understand. I got to do the will of God. And in Romans in chapter 8, picking up if I can, in verse 26. 8 and 26. You know it. I just want you to put it together in the will. He's the doing the will of God. Okay. The will of God conditions the enjoyment of mother, brother, brother, son, daughter relationship. What does? The will of God. I can't enjoy the relationship for alienated. I got to be in line, comfortable. I need to be comfortable sitting at God's table. I need to be comfortable. Then I can enjoy the fellowship, as it were. Now, Romans chapter 8, according to the will. So therefore, the Spirit of God, Zechariah 4, 6, not by might, power, Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 20, watch it, it's come together for you. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weakness, our faults, our failures. 4, if we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So God knows what he wants, that's right. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts, God knoweth that is what is the mind of the Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, because, why? He maketh intercession. He's concerned about our moment-by-moment life on planet Earth, sharing the same love, having the same Lord, having the same life. And therefore, verse 27, because he maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. That's what he's doing. You aren't doing it, maybe. I'm not doing it, maybe. He's doing it. He's the one saying, Abba, Father. He's the one telling us, you got to have the relationship to the will of God. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood is cleansing. So it isn't, we aren't trusting anything about our little old lives. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds are just that. Ours. Ours. God, we want to be lined up with you. That's what the Spirit of God's ministry is. And so God, we don't know how to pray and like that. You do, God. So we're trusting God. And God's going to do that. What? He's going to do what? To outwork my moment-by-moment walk in planet Earth by his will, in his will. That's what the Spirit of God's going to do. More? Yes. 1 John. Chapter 5. And put it together in your head and heart if you want to, so you have it. You don't have to guess at it. You don't just know it. Just know how it works. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, John chapter 14, etc., if we ask anything according to his will, which is what we want, looking at the Spirit of God, so that's what we want. He heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we're asking for his will, which Spirit of God's what he's doing, but we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him already. We already have it. We share that 1,000 times, 10,000 times. You're looking for God's will, and God's going to do it. Then you go through and do everything you can, eating and drinking to the glory of God, doing whatever you can do, do it heartily unto the Lord. That's what you're doing. You work, homeschool, play, whatever culture you're living, whether you live in Nepal or India or New York City, wouldn't make any difference. And you're doing. That's what your relationship to God, relationship and practicing it. Wow. in the will of God. Those people doing that, those are my mother, brother, and sister. Those people, those are mine. Those are mine. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, someone said, well, that's my brother. That's my sister. And if it's everything is all good, that's nice. Wow. Now, in closing, over, if it can, to Matthew chapter 11. And we'll see if it's still there. Matthew chapter 11. What did you know from other times we've done? God's going to go. And 11, and picking up, please, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? Get your education, your experience from me. Me, I'm the one. God's the teacher. God's the source. God's the savior. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall receive rest from souls. So he's telling the people listening to trust him. Trust him to get to God as the yoke. And they understood the yoke, and the yoke, or the two oxen under it, as it were. And the yoke is there, and he's under the one of them. My yoke, it's my yoke. It isn't anyone else's. So when it's his yoke and he's working, who's he work for? He works for the Father. What's he doing? He's out working the Father's will. That's what he's doing. So if I get under the yoke, he's going to go where? In the Father's will. I can't make him go. If your head's out of the yoke, you can do whatever you want. But if your head's in the yoke, present your bodies a living sacrifice, Romans 6:13, etc., then I can't do that. And the Spirit of God got me. That's right. He got me. Got you. So we're going down. That's right. God, I want your will. We are ready. Spirit of God wants his will. The Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm under the yoke, he's going to go for his will. The Lord Jesus Christ represents the Father outworking his will in a most wonderful way. And in the process of all things, verse 29, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So you want to get free. And think of Isaiah 30 and 15. In returning in rest to be saved, and in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. How do you do it? I told you, returning in rest, you'll be saved. And in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. That's what you do. Are you doing it? Well, no. Then you aren't going to get it. Why don't I have it? Because you don't do it. That's why you don't have it. It's nothing to do with God's inefficiency. Or it's your own stubborn, not yours, but stubborn and stupid thinking. Now, so therefore, and my yoke, verse 30, my yoke is easy, useful, profitable, very, very useful, profitable, to say the least. And in the process, and my burden, it's very practical. God is always right, and he's always reasonable. God isn't going to ask of something of you or do something for you or do anything that's way out in space. God understands our little head and heart, and God uses us as we're walking in the light, as he is in the light, and we at work, at home, at school, whatever we're doing, sickness and health, easy, hard, much, little, that's what we do. And we're doing. And God's out working his will. That's right. Our relationship to time, all of those things are true. Our relationship to God in eternity, but we're still in time. So we have all of that going. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Light, not heavy, not like freight, carrying freight down the road. Big load, you're carrying a load. That's the way. My burden, the yoke, and I look at it every now and then in my house there. You know that from my grandfather's farm and that. We used to use it 100 years ago. I look at that and I say, boy, is that a heavy piece of a thing. You know, I bring it out to you, but I have to have a truck to bring it over, you know. Is that heavy? Whew. My yoke is easy, and it's not heavy. Not heavy. I carry it. Where do you get the shoulders? God said, they're my shoulders. Where do you get it? God. Walking in the light, we're just nothing, as it were, a flesh. But God, we're able to enjoy a wonderful, stupendous relationship to you, so that in the process, we're able to go and be in the Father's business. And the Father's business is outworked by the Lord Jesus Christ. The yoke, he's going down the corridor of time in your life, in my life, in the church's life, bearing witness to who he is. He is risen again from the grave, and he's bearing witness to who he is. That's what he's doing. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and it doesn't seem like we're doing anything or knowing anything or ever doing. What is the question of that? It's a question of your resting and trusting in his saving grace, in his wonderful person. And that's what you trust in. And that's what comes out. That's what is seen. But that you don't see it. No, you aren't. Oh, sometime. No, not likely. Not likely something's wrong, you know, sometime. No, we're just doing it. So God, we're in the Father's business. That's right. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was 12 years old, he just baffled everybody in the temple, asking all their questions. They did, and he answered them. Wow. He didn't flunk the test. And in the process, his mother and father and that. And he said to them, again, that's when he was 12 years old. 12 years old isn't too old. And when he was 12 years old, he said to his mother and father, I must be about my father's business. And Joseph is there, but he isn't his father. Mary, mother? No, he said, you're my mother, but you're not my mother in that sense. Wow. That's why I said to John on the cross, here's your mother. Here's your mother. God isn't your mother. He's your God and Savior and Father. And that's what you're resting in. So therefore, God in the Father's business, we're able to go with all the burdens, all the things that God has to handle. That's right. He has to handle the awesome things that are going on all over the world. I don't even know them like you guys do. Israel with what is it, 130 missiles or whatever at the same time in the air. I don't know how whatever system they got, it had to be a good system. That's all I have to tell you. To shoot down most of them, wow. So thousands just shooting them from everywhere. Wow. God, yeah. And then there's India and there's China and all of those things. And our own country, the horrible, horrible way we're going to end up here. But, and the point, it has to be. God, the pages have to be turned. We're moving to the next thing in the global conditions to happen. And you can't have them free. You can't have them. No, you have to. If you live through them, live into them, which we are, then we have to do that. And be what? Walking in the light as he is in the light. And the Father's burdens are there. And we want to what? The more I get, I can't do all of it, but just think of it. As you and I practice our relationship to God, we become carefree. You understand that? You don't worry about what? What are you supposed to worry about? Nothing. Nothing. Don't worry. And as you practice that, you're able to enjoy the catastrophe and cares of the world around you and participate, because it isn't going to overwhelm you. I hate seeing it. You hate seeing it. I hate seeing people, war and horrible things. No one wants to see it. But we're able to do it without getting overcome and crushed. Because if we're caught up in our cares and we add that to it, no, I have to be carefree so that I can enjoy and practice and experience all the cares that I am, because God's involved in them. God's out working all these things. If you and I were in Israel, we'd be part of it. But we aren't. We're fortunately still here, and they haven't arrested us yet. You know? Wow.